Dear Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for another day on this earth to continue in the plan. We know that you're very diligent and detail-oriented to help us along the way and show us just what you need us to see so we can continue to make right decisions on this earth. We thank you for everything you provide us every day. And we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So Philippians 2, 1, and I guess I'll start by reading the, starting from verse 1. And I have it up here on the slide. Actually, let's go to the next one. This is Philippians 2, or no, we can start right here. Philippians 1, let's start at verse 29. Because to you it has been granted, for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. So if you remember from our belief and through the suffering has actually been granted to us. And that was a grace gift. That the word granted meant a grace extension, and it was given by God. So part of that meant that even suffering, I know we don't think about it like that, but even suffering was a positive, a benefit to us. So, and then we'll keep going. Verse, or chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship in the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, verse 2, make my joy complete by thinking the same thing, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, of one understanding. And we left off on the third if. We're going through the ifs. And this is the third one, and it's if there is any fellowship in the Spirit. And we got into it a little bit. But all these so far, remember, this is a first-class condition, so Paul is assuming these to be true, is what he's doing. He's not saying if as asking a general question. He's saying if and thinking, yes, they are true. So this is basically a litmus test for us as well as Christians to say, hey, this should be part of our lives too. The encouragement in Christ is where it starts, and then he went to consolation of love, and now we're on fellowship of the Spirit. And a matter of fact, these should every one of these should be true in our lives. If we're growing spiritually because we are encouraged in Christ, that's why we continue to show up every day. That's why we continue to worship, to study, to learn. It's that perseverance that's rooted in being encouraged. So we are encouraged, and I can see that in you. I see it in myself. That we keep driving in that direction. If we didn't have any encouragement, it sure would be hard to wake up and do what we do and continue in your lives every day. So we are encouraged, and all this hinges on the first if statement. Keep that in mind too. So if there is no encouragement, that just means you basically just need to reevaluate. Reevaluate your Christian life. If each day is doom and gloom, that is not the life that God has designed for us to live. Not at all. God's Word and His spiritual life are meant to be happiness for us. It's meant to be a way for us to be content in our circumstances. It's a way to be encouraged on a daily basis. And if that's not happening in your spiritual life, I would start there, my spiritual life, because something is not right. This isn't meant, God didn't design His Word for us to be just like everybody else, including unbelievers. He designed it to be, to live a spiritual life through Him, and it's a blessing for us. So, and we can live that blessing, and that can be a reality. And it is a reality. So, and I like this because I think Pat told me this, but he said his favorite day of the week is Monday. And I kind of looked at, I thought, man, that's kind of strange. And he said the reason why is because it reminds me that God has given me another week. He's encouraged by that to continue going. That Monday is his encouragement. Okay, I got another week. Here we go again. And I like that. It makes sense to me. At first I was like, man, Monday, ugh. Now I have a new outlook on Mondays. Because we do. We get a new week. We have a new day to keep going. And that's one thought to think about, because, you know, every day that we have is actually given to us. It's grace. God could stop that heart anytime he wants to. It's on his clock, on his timetable. So we have to realize that. And that includes looking at the divine aspect of everything. Everything. That includes your friends. That includes your family. That includes what you're doing in your life. What are your current circumstances? If you can see the divine perspective of that, it changes your perception of everything. And it allows you to be thankful for what you have from God. And that's a big thing, because when we sometimes look at life, we can see the problems and the difficulties as negatives, but those things are from God as well. That may be God trying to show you or guide you or tweak you in certain ways. So you name it, God is in control of every piece of it. And that, to me, is encouragement. And not only that, when we don't have encouragement in life, many times all we need to do is go to his word for that encouragement. I don't know if you guys have one. I assume most of you do. A promise book. I can't tell you how many times I use that promise book. If something is not coming to me, if something is not going right, if something is... It's by subject. Look up by subject. And there's promises from the Word of God, scripture references that are dealing with your exact issue. Claim a promise. God's Word is not saying, April Fools, you can just claim it, but it's not going to work. This is the Word of God. This is truth. So we have to go to these promises and know what we're claiming first, and then also have the faith to believe that God will do what he says he's going to do on his end. And he does. He meets his end every single time. And you name it. You need guidance in life. What do? We ask for it. You need relief. We ask for it. You need encouragement. Ask for it. You need strength to get you through that day. You ask for it. And that's how God works. That's why we pray. That's why we pray. Because we need to ask. Even though he already knows, what is praying essentially saying? It's saying that you believe that he is a God, the God, and you also believe that he will hold his end of the deal. You wouldn't be praying to him if you didn't have faith in the belief that he would do what he was going to do. So I can't tell you how many times I've used that. And even in my study, sometimes you hit a roadblock and you can't seem to get past it. You just can't move forward. And you just kind of throw your hands up. And as you know, this isn't simply a human endeavor. This includes God the Holy Spirit, as everything in your life should. And one of the many promises that I use many times is Isaiah 42:16. It says, I will lead the blind by a way they do not know, in paths they do not know. I will guide them. I will make darkness into light before them and rugged places into plains. These are the things I will do, and I will not leave them undone. Now, if there is any encouragement in that, I would say there is. I would say definitely is. Just knowing that God's word, this is God's word specifically to us, saying, I will lead you into the light. Even places that you're not even aware of, but I will show you where they're at. Because why? Because you're looking to me for that place, for that next place. So, and because of this encouragement that we receive from the Word, what are we then enabled to do? We're then enabled to encourage others. Remember how much encouragement we need in this world? There's so much problems, and we talked about depression a little bit. You have the capability to be that encouragement in other people's lives. Wherever you go, whatever, whoever you associate with, it doesn't matter. Because there's always someone that is discouraged, down. Everyone has problems, but when you're a growing Christian, you have a different perspective on those problems they're having. Not just the problem. We can talk about the problem all day. That's not the issue. The issue is maybe what's causing the problem, or think about the divine viewpoint of that problem. Totally different perception on life. And this is, so it's not something we keep to ourselves, as we mentioned. This is something that comes through the Word, through you, and encourages other people. And then we left off with, if there is any fellowship in the Spirit. And the Greek word here is very familiar to you. It's koinonia. And it means participation or sharing. And that's what we do when we participate in the Holy Spirit, don't we? When we go to Him, to God the Father, in confession, we are then allowing ourselves to submit to God, because He then cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and we are then can be guided by the Holy Spirit. If you ever need guidance in life, if it's not through the Holy Spirit, good luck. Because then you've taken the reins. You've taken the reins in life. You're saying, I'm going to go this direction. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. It all sounds good, but what happens is you shoved off the Holy Spirit's guidance. And that's the most important thing we have to keep. So participation, remember to constantly participate in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And notice that this, why I keep harping on this aspect of the Holy Spirit's ministry, because the Holy Spirit has a lot of ministries. But this is the only ministry that we are commanded to keep. Everything happens automatically at your salvation. You are regenerated. You are a born-again believer. You are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Those are permanent. Those happen. But guess what's the only thing that we can lose is the Holy Spirit's guidance. And what knocks us off of that guidance is sin. That's it. Because we know that even though we are saved, we what? We still have a sin nature within us. We still have a tendency to make the wrong decision sometimes. And part of that is, that's just a simple, small, sin is just disobedience from God, right? Whether it be big or small. So in order to get back on track, that's why the Scripture commands us to be filled with the Spirit. Actually, the word is the present tense, so it means to continue to be filled. So this isn't just a one-time thing. This should be consistent throughout your day, to always keep track, keep track, keep track. You remember in Romans 6:11, Paul is talking about the Christian walk. And I'm going to read this, and I just want you to notice that there's a contrast on who we present ourselves to. Okay? Just keep that in mind. Who we're yielding to. Romans 6:11 says, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's a born-again believer right there. You are now dead to sin and alive to Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. That's a command right there. Verse 13, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Here's the contrast. But present, there's another imperative command, yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So I didn't name all of them off, but there's actually four imperatives, four commands in two verses in there. Four. That's a short two verses just for four commands by God, imperatives. And the reason for that is because sin is the main and only issue the Christian has. That's our only issue when it comes to the plan of God, when it comes to walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Sin is the only thing that knocks us out of that. So that's why Paul has a tendency to harp on this. And oftentimes we say, well, if I just continue to grow spiritually, I'll eventually stop sinning. Well, I don't really need to explain that one, but there are people, there are religions that actually do believe that they can reach a status of perfection, believe it or not. And I want to mention that because we know, and it is funny, even though we're growing spiritually, yes, you do, you can minimize sin. You're not going to be the knothead you were when you first became a believer. But the point about it is, you're still going to make mistakes. You're still going to sin. So, and I mean, even Scripture tells us that. If we say, 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we can't become perfection. We can't just, if I continue to grow, the Holy Spirit's just going to take that old sin nature right out of me and chunk it. No, it's there until we die. And then you'll lose it. So you can imagine the verse said, if we're going to present anything as righteousness to God, what should we need first? To be cleansed from all unrighteousness. That's just a correlation of Scripture. That's a given right there. Cleansed. And we know how to do that simply by keeping track of our sins with God. And we've already mentioned this before, but it is a relief that we don't have to do things as they did in the Old Testament. We don't have to go before a priest as some denominations do, the Catholic religion. And there's two main biblical reasons for that we don't have to do that according to Scripture. The first one is that the priesthood of the Old Testament fell under the Mosaic Law, if you remember. The Mosaic Law, the Levitical priesthood fell under the Mosaic Law. Well, guess who fulfilled the law? Jesus Christ. Because he was perfect, and he followed every rule of that law perfectly, and he died on the cross. And we have Scripture that tells us Christ is the end of the law. So now we're under a new law. Galatians 3:23 says, but before faith, now listen to this. This is referring to that law, the old law, and what we are under today. Before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to faith, which was later to be revealed. That's now. We're here. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. So this is just another scripture that shows you the law was designed for a purpose. It was designed to show people their sin. It was designed to lead people to Christ. It was designed to show people that I can't keep this perfectly. I can't do it. It was designed to show people their human nature, their imperfect nature. And Christ comes along and kept it perfectly and fulfilled the law. And so what happened to the priest? Are they still around? Well, the Catholic Church says they are, and they still hold this specialized type of priesthood where the individual has to go through a human to get to God. That's how it was under the Old Testament law. You had to go before the priest and do these things. But now, God has done things differently according to 1 Peter 2:5-9, 5-9. It says, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You see where the priesthood went? You are individual priests. You are responsible for your relationship between you and God directly. You have direct access. You don't have to go to the temple, to the priest anymore. And that's good to know. Then skip down to verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So, what Paul is talking about in the verses earlier that we had mentioned is our Christian walk. It's about what are you presenting yourself to? What are you presenting yourself to? Or we could call it our Christian experience. And there's a lot of different understandings about, this is also called your sanctification, by the way. And how we view sanctification is we view it as in three parts. We view it positionally at salvation. Because remember, all sanctification means is what? Set apart. You're set apart as a believer in Jesus Christ. So you're positionally set apart at salvation. That's positional sanctification. Then you have your whole Christian walk. You have to continually be set apart because of sin. So that's called experiential sanctification. That's a day-by-day thing. That includes what we just talked about, confession. And then you have what? Ultimate sanctification, which is die, you're ultimately sanctified, you go to heaven. So three parts of that, right? And 1 Thessalonians 5:19 is a verse that tells us, it's still talking about the experiential aspect of our, it says, do not quench the Spirit. And that goes back to what we said. The word there means a faculty to cease to function or exist. In other words, don't cut the Holy Spirit off. Don't put out the fire there. Don't extinguish it, is what the word means. Do not quench the Spirit. You can imagine pouring a bucket of water on your head. Don't quench the Spirit, is what it's saying. Don't put it out. But we do that from time to time when we sin. And so an easy way to view fellowship is by what's controlling your soul. What is controlling your soul? Because it's either your sin nature or it's the Holy Spirit. There's no in between there. There's no in between. And this is why I included that we're either walking, or I don't know if I put the verse up, but we're either walking in the light or walking in the darkness. If you remember the drawing that I had up here, one side showed that through confession we're able to walk in the light as Christians, and the other one showed that we're walking in the darkness. So there's only either one or the other. There's no in between there. Romans 8:5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things on the Spirit. So you can see the difference there. There's no in between. It doesn't say you can get halfway in the middle of those. It says one or the other. So now, oh, there's your drawing. See, in the middle you have the free will decision to decide which way you're going to go. One way is to commit sin and be a carnal Christian, and the other one is to confess and be in fellowship with God. So, if any affection and compassion, if any affection and compassion. Those are comforting words. Encouraging. We actually already saw one of these words in Philippians 1:8, where Paul said, "For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." And if you remember the word, it refers to the inward parts, the heart, the liver, the lungs. And that sounds kind of weird, but that's how the Jews, where they viewed the intense feelings towards someone, the deep compassions, that's where they viewed them as. Tender emotions and affections towards one another, especially kindness, benevolence, and fondness. So it can be translated affection as it is here, but I like the word tender mercies because it kind of brings out the deepness of your feelings. They're very, that's we can't gain these things from anything but the Word of God. From His love for us, we can have these feelings toward other people that we care about them deeply, not just on the surface. This is the core being of who you are as a person. And then look what it's paired up with. Compassion. This is a word that means concern over another's misfortune. It can be translated pity, mercy, or compassion. And these two words go hand in hand, don't they? The amount of level of care that's deep inside you, and then you add compassion to that. You actually care about what happens to a certain individual. Deeply. That's part of who you are. And this is really referring to when our life is based on that unconditional love that we talked about. We do have this mercy and compassion on others. See, some of you thought that was impossible. It's not. It's not. It's not impossible. It says it right here. Just as Christ had compassion and mercy at the height of His suffering. What did He say? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Can we think like that as well? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Can you forgive someone that's trying to kill you? Torturing you? Beating you? Whipping you? Putting a crown of thorns on your head? Christ did. Why? Because He said, forgive them because they know not what they are really doing. They don't. And you know, this world, people really don't understand the repercussions of necessarily what they're doing. They don't understand the divine aspect, the divine waves things create. They have no clue. But you do. So we can take those things into consideration that they don't know. And that's okay. They can then offend you and you won't get offended. Because you can forgive, because you have compassion. Not just because of what's happening to you. That's not the issue. The issue is what's happening in their soul. That's not a good thing. They're the ones that are not doing very good. Do you see what I'm saying? Spiritually. So we need to think about not just us, not just the words they're throwing at us or the circumstances that they get us in. What's happening with them? Where are they at spiritually? And can we assist or provide any of this encouragement that we've been talking about here? Because they may want to offend you. They may want you out of their life. But guess what? There's something else going on. It's not just on the surface because you had a bad hair day and they didn't like your hair. There's something going on spiritually. There's always a spiritual issue. When it comes to a disagreement, it's a spiritual issue. It's not a physical. It's not just words. There's a spiritual issue there. And we're the ones, because we're growing spiritually, have to absorb 99% of that. Because they don't know how to. They don't know how. What are they going to do? Get it, throw their hands up, get offended? You won't hear from them for a year. That's how that works. That's not how you work. Because the Word of God teaches us differently. Because Christ thinks about us in this way. And what do you know? We have the mind of Christ. Or we have the ability to think like Christ because of His Word. If we continue down the same path, growing spiritually. So just by Christ saying, "Forgive them, Father," it just shows you right there that that love and compassion wasn't based on them. It was based on who He was. It was based on who the Father is. And that's how we base everything on other people. Not based on them. It doesn't matter about them. They're going to be irritating just like we will be irritating. They're going to be certain ways. They have a sin nature just like you do. You just have to think about the other side of that, not just from your perspective. There's always two sides to every story. Not just what's on the surface. There's a soul involved. There's a spiritual life or a lack of spiritual life involved there. So you can always bring encouragement to the table. There's always a different way to look at things, a different way to view things. I mean, shoot, you only got 100 years max on this earth? I mean, why go a month without talking to somebody? What's the point? Life is here for a reason. We're here to enjoy it and also to glorify God. And part of that may include that person in your life. Maybe you need to be encouraging to them. Maybe you need a witness to them. Whatever the case, maybe you need to take them under your wing. That takes a lot of time. But you know what? I've seen it done, and it will change a person's life. It will change a person's life. Yeah. Because they take the time to sacrifice their whole life just for someone else. And I believe that that has huge implications on the person's life that's involved with that. Both people involved with that. And especially, can you imagine growing spiritually through that? Glorifying God through the whole process? I mean, you can't go wrong with that. You can't go wrong. That could be, you know, we often view ministry as some call or you know, I'll be going to another country or I'll be teaching in a certain... Not necessarily. Not necessarily. God's call for you might involve other people. Taking care of other people. Can't tell you these nurses that go in these houses day after day and see them every day, they know the nurse more than they know the family. These nurses that have any spiritual life are ministering to these people. They're encouraging these people. That's a wonderful place to have a ministry, is when you go and see people that are sick daily or even weekly. Wow, they have the opportunity to have an impact. Not all of them do, not many of them want to. But some of them do. Some of them do. So despite someone's hate towards you, you can still have compassion towards them, knowing that Christ died for them as well, and He also created them in His image. Remember, God wants everyone to grow spiritually like you are. God doesn't like to see people in a state like that, without growing, without doing... So, what does He do? He may use you to light that flame under them, to encourage them. And how much does this apply in the workplace? Each one of y'all are probably the only one in your work that is growing at all spiritually. At all. To even be a believer now seems to be something unusual. And then when on top of that, when you talk about a relationship with Christ, well, what is that? So the ministry opportunity out there is hands down wide open. There is no spot that you cannot minister because you all talk to people, I think. You all talk to people, whether on the phone or whether you see them. And if you don't talk to people, you got dogs and cats. They need encouragement too, don't they? So we can see the path we are on sometimes is not very popular, if you know what I mean. The path you are on is not the widely accepted one out in the world. It's not, I don't know how to say that, but you get the point. It's not the popular way to go, to be just a growing Christian submitting your life to God. It's not. It's not. So, and because of that, how can we discount someone's choice to go in that direction? Because they may too as well. We don't know. We don't know what's going on in their life. You got here somehow, usually from mistakes. It's how we usually get to places like this. That's too hot, I'll go on this side of the room. That's too cold, I'll go on this side, and then we end up here. That hurts, too bad, okay, I'll move away from that. You see the point? But some people never really get that stimulation to make the right decision. But we always have to make a decision. So sometimes you might be a part of that process. It helps them out. People don't view discipline in their life as coming from God. You realize that? They just think it's a bad day. It's happening. I got bad luck. Guess what you bring to the table? No, it's happening for a specific reason. And maybe you need to just think about why that's happening. Nothing happens for no reason. Nothing. At all. So, and after listening to all these qualities, Paul is assuming to be true, he gets to the imperative where he says, make my joy complete. And this word is plerao, and it means to make full or complete. That's the imperative. And it has a sense to fill up to the top or fill up to the brim. And you got to remember, Paul is a traveling missionary and preacher. And one of the sources of happiness for any teacher, preacher, missionary, anyone teaching the word, is to see a return. To see a return. If I come here every day and I see no change, nothing happening, that can be a little bit discouraging. Thank God that my encouragement must come from my relationship with Christ. Because it's not going to be 100% encouragement. We're people. We're human. We don't all move in the same direction, all in accord, all growing spiritually. We don't. We're all over different places. But we can see what's making Paul's joy complete. Philippians 4:1 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see. He's referring to the faithful and dedicated congregation. Listen what he calls them. He says, my joy and my crown. In this way, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. My joy and my crown. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at His coming? For you are our glory and joy. He's referring to the congregation that is growing spiritually. That's joy. Because when you come up here and you just speak the words of God, those things have to go in your souls and change. I'm just a mouthpiece. This is the Word of God that we're talking about. I'm just speaking. It has to go somewhere and inside your soul, and it has to change your thinking. That's the whole point. Or either I'm just spinning my wheels up here. So a source of happiness to the pastor comes from positive response of those faithful to the teaching of the Word of God. And really, that makes sense in whatever gift you have. Think about your specialty. Where are you at? Where is your gift? Don't you like to see that that gift is functioning in full? Isn't that a beautiful thing? When it's not just coming from you, you're seeing it change other people. You're seeing it affect other people, whether you're an evangelist or whether you're just a mentor or whatever the case may be. You're seeing that change on the other side. And it's not you that's doing the change. It's the gift that God has given you. Never forget that. It's the gift. Because when you get that twisted, then you're going to fail. God gives us the spiritual gifts to do those kinds of things. We can't muster that up on our own. No way, no how. God-given. And on top of that, it's not only God-given, but He'll give you the means to perform it. He'll give you everything you need to get the job done. Remember I talked about I didn't know what to do? I didn't know where to go before I walked in that house that was in turmoil? I didn't need to. I didn't need to know what was going on in there. I didn't need to worry about what was happening. Because I've been equipped. God has given me the tools I need with what to say, what to do, how to act, how to look, everything. God, that's God-given. You see, it's all mental, a mental process, but it's all God-given. So we don't have to worry about the details of your gift. You just go running into the gift. Once you recognize it, just go forward. Because you have your spiritual life. You have the Word of God. That's not going to change. But what you don't have is direction. And God gives you that. God gives you that. Everything He will give you. So, I think that's... We better stop there because that's a good place to stop. And I think... We had talked about, the deacons and I were talking about our break, and I'm going to try something a little bit different today. Let's try coming back here at 10:50, and we'll get started. Instead of the normal 11, let's try 10:50, because I think we were all kind of twiddling our thumbs for 35, 40 minutes. So 10:50, and then we'll get started, and we'll see how it goes. If we like it, we may stick with it, but we're just got to experiment, you know, see how things go. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for everything You provided. We ask for more encouragement that we know Your Word can give us, and we pray that we can continue to be encouraged, and that takes our positive volition. It takes continuing down this road to maturity. And most of all, we thank You for Your Son who has provided us access to everything that we know as a Christian. Entrance into Your plan included Christ coming to earth and dying on the cross for our sins. And what did that mean for us? It meant that not only do we have an option to have a relationship with You now, but You provided it absolutely freely. Your Word tells us we are saved by grace through faith, and there is nothing that we can do for that. It is a gift of God that is not of ourselves, lest no man can boast. By grace you are saved through faith. So You said all we have to do now as people, human beings, is to recognize Jesus Christ. And after we recognize, do we believe it or do we not believe it? I pray that everyone who has the opportunity to hear this message will make that decision to believe. Because it's too simple and there's too much behind it packed that You've offered not to. There's no reason not to. It's all benefit. Thank You for this day. Thank You for this message and everything You do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.